Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. And you are listening to the Nerdcast.
All right, ladies, gentlemen, everyone else, welcome back to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. It is episode 156. We are without our fearless leader today, but I have returned, so all is well. It is me, Tyler, with my friends Adam and Bob. Welcome to the Nerdcast. Adam, Bob, how are you two doing this fine evening?
I'm doing great. How about you, Adam?
Yeah, super good, guys. Super good.
It is, we are in post E3, have that post E3 glow about us. It has been quite an eventful weekend. Not a lot of surprises, but I think just the cathartic release of finally getting to see things that we've been waiting for so long, a la Cyberpunk 2077, among other things. But that was the one I was most excited about. But before we get all E3 up in this, because just a fair warning, we are going to get all up in all three of the E's here in a minute. But first, as always, let's talk on a little bit of movie news. What happened this weekend, Bob? Talk to me.
I tell you, Ocean's 8 just came in and took over. I had a feeling I was pretty close on my prediction about, what was it, about 40, what ended up being 41.5 million. That's good. It's actually the best opening for one of the Ocean movies. The other ones, 11, 12, and 13. But this one is an all-female crew with Sandra Bullock and Kate Blanchett. I have not seen it yet. I'm going to try to go see it tomorrow. But From what everyone says, it's just as good as the prior ones.
I've heard really good things about it, and one of my friends who saw it says the way that it ends, it finally clicked why they called it Ocean's 8 and why they opted for 8 people, because now they are well set up to do Ocean's 8, Ocean's 9, and Ocean's 10, and finish the little.
And then you get a
double trilogy.
So wait a second. So like Star Wars, is that going to be 14, 15, and 16, like, so we can, so we got the,
I mean, are some point we're going to go back and it's just Ocean's 1 and it's just Danny Ocean, like, knocking over a liquor store or whatever.
Oh, that could be scary. But anyway, so it did, what, 41.5 million? And A24's Hereditary did extremely well, too. Let's see, how much did that make?
13 million. Biggest opening for an A24 movie since The Witch came out, and it made only, what, 8.5, 9? So for A24, that's a big opening. For a horror movie, it's a pretty big opening. That's not like major studio.
Especially a horror movie in, what are we, June? Like, you know, their bread and butter's back towards October.
I don't know. There's usually one good horror movie in the summer. I mean, you had the, what was that? The one movie with the paranormal doctors with Patrick Wilson. Conjuring. Yeah, The Conjuring. I mean,
was it Follows a summer movie?
That was a summer movie. Those were summer movies. But the one thing, and like I said, I did not get a chance to see a movie this weekend. I feel I disappointed people. I'm sorry. But cinema score on Hereditary was a D+, which doesn't really bode well for, you know, box office here the next couple weeks. You know, it's not going to get a good word of mouth from that.
That's interesting, because I think it was relying on that word of mouth. Like all the stuff I've been seeing about it being, you know, scariest movie since The Exorcist and stuff like that. Like, I feel like they were really banking on people going and being scared and telling their friends about it.
Yeah.
I was surprised with the cinema. I mean, obviously cinema score is usually a closer exact score, but in the, you know, the flawed, but you know, the go-to Rotten Tomatoes where it's just either it's a good review or a bad review, it's a 92. Like it's certified fresh at Rotten Tomatoes, but the more granular scores have it much lower. So,
but those are critics, and this is just normal Joes who go to the movies, and you know, if it's something that just they like, I mean, they're going to give a good cinema score, but I don't know. This one is not looking good. but I've been hearing fantastic reviews for Toni Collette.
And then as we were talking about before we went on the air, Avengers Infinity War put down another $7 million over the weekend. It has now joined the $2 billion club worldwide, which is a real big deal.
That's just all the money. Good God.
It is now one of only four movies to have ever broken the $2 billion mark. And depending on how much longer it stays in theaters, it may actually catch The Force Awakens. It is now only $66 million behind The Force Awakens.
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to catch it.
I don't know if it has. I mean, it needs to basically make what it made these last couple weeks for at least 2 to 3 more weeks to catch that, which is a stretch because it's now been in theaters for, God, when did it come out? Infinity War came out.
April, end of April.
Yeah,
so I mean, it's not 6-7 weeks.
So yeah, April 20th. We're
talking about already out for seven.
And to be fair, it did open in quite a few countries later than that, but not many. It was one of the, this Marvel's gotten to the point where they almost all open at the same time, but yeah, April 27th. So it's been running for a solid almost 3 months at this point. So.
Yeah, the only one it didn't open at with everyone else was China, and that was like 2 weeks later, and it was huge there. And speaking of overseas with huge box office, they released in some markets Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, and it did, oh man, it did, looks like it was about 150 million. So that one's going to be huge.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that that's making all the money.
Yeah, so I think that's gonna pull the Avengers money away from it. So I don't think it's going to get to Force Awakens.
And we'll touch on it for one moment, just because we have to bring it up. We are now, how far into Solo? It's been 18 days of Solo now.
Are we into its death march yet?
I mean, it's been out for 18 days now, so it's been out for 2.5 weeks, and it has just barely broken $170 million.
You know, it's even, what's sadder is that globally it's only made $312 million.
It only just now has passed, about half a week ago, it just now passed the opening weekend gross for Rogue One.
Oh, that's sad.
Because to date, Rogue One is the lowest grossing domestic grossing like Star Wars movie, and it made $532 million. Solo is at $178 million. Wow. If it makes 200 before, I mean, it'll make 200, but I don't see it making much more than that.
Well, here's the thing, like if you look at where we've really gotten to, is that, you know, sure, it's, you're talking 175 million, barely making 200 million, and it's victim of their own success, like an unqualified successful movie this year right now, we would all say is A Quiet Place, right?
Yeah.
And domestically, you're looking at $185 million. Now, sure, it didn't take cost nearly as much to make as Solo did. I get that, and I get the expectations are there, but like, that's still a lot of money. And we talked a little bit about it before. It's exactly what you would want it to be, I think. So I feel like it's kind of snowballed into people hating on it for hating on its sake, and then hating on it because the numbers aren't as good, because people were hating on it before it started. And now it's just like, oh, we told you it wasn't going to be any good. See, it doesn't make any money.
Yeah.
Oh, did you go see it? Oh, you didn't go see it? No? Okay. Well,
yeah, I think it's a combination of it being underperforming on what was expected, obviously, out the gate. There was definitely a lot of concern with the troubled production that it had, bringing in new director, all of that, the issues with the lead actor that they talked about. And then I think this has been the release valve, the punching bag for all the people who lost their minds because they thought The Last Jedi was the worst Star Wars movie ever, and no one listened to them and went and continued to see it. So it made, $620 million domestically. So that didn't work. So now they can just be angry at this one instead.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't want to harp on it. You know, it is what it is. I don't.
We're getting tired of beating a dead horse with this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's not like it's DC Comics movie bad. So, but I mean, the box office were now that, you know, Deadpool, Solo. I don't know what's the next blockbuster on the horizon? Is it Ant-Man and the Wasp or I guess Incredibles?
Incredibles.
Yep.
Jurassic World. Yeah.
Or Jurassic World and. Then I think after that it will be Ant-Man.
How's Jurassic World going to do? I don't feel like I've heard a lot of... The buzz has not been amazing. The first trailer was, you know, incoherent. The second one seems like it's two different movies. So I don't know.
They're saying it's a lot darker than any of the prior movies. I'm not sure. I mean, the action looks good, but you never know.
Fair enough.
All right. It's going to be exactly what you expect it's going to be. There's going to be dinosaurs. It's going to be dinosaurs fighting. It's going to be humans running from dinosaurs. It's going to be humans running with dinosaurs.
Works for me.
It's a Jurassic Park movie. People, come on. What are we? Go and enjoy a film for once.
And you get Jeff Goldblum for about 5 minutes.
I'm on board with that. More Jeff Goldblum's other movie, which looked interesting, did not do particularly well at the box office or critically. But I do still want to see Hotel Artemis. It looks fun.
It does.
I just like all the people in it too much to not want to have to see
it. It's got a really good cast. I'm excited about that one.
All right. Enough movie talk, unless you guys have any other tags. I mean, the only other thing I would drop out is a lot of trailers have dropped in the last week or so. As Adam is our resident horror man, any thoughts about the reboot of Halloween?
The reboot sequel that ignores all the other sequels. I don't know. I'm on board with a James Cameron produced Halloween movie that has, or not James Cameron,
John Carpenter.
That's the one.
Yeah.
JNC, you know, whatever.
You're close.
They make good movies. A John Carpenter produced Halloween movie with Jamie Lee Curtis. Like,
yeah,
I'll go see that movie. Sure. Why not? And I've enjoyed many of the other remakes, reboots, official, unofficial sequels that they've had. So I'm okay with it. It looks fine. I'm going to need at least one Jamie Lee Curtis scream though. And if they don't give me that, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Other trailers that dropped, speaking of Hollywood has no new ideas and remakes of sequels of reboots, we are getting another version of A Star is Born, directed and starring Bradley Cooper with Lady Gaga. This will be
fourth.
The original, the musical, two more movies, and then this one, so.
Yeah, this is the fourth version.
All right, so another Star is Born.
But that preview actually does look
trailer. Good. The trailer looks real good. Spoiler alert, she gets successful and he dies.
Doesn't.
He kills him. If you haven't seen the 1937 movie, the 1954 musical, or the 1970 something movie, that's the story. So just throwing it out there.
And the test on that one is it opens the same weekend as Venom.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that's good. That's good scheduling. I don't know anyone who's going to go see both of those on opening.
Those are different audiences. Those are totally different audiences.
Another one that confuses me is we have the third take on Lisbeth Salander from the Millennium books from Stieg Larsson. But so in Sweden, they made the first three books into movies.
Right.
Starring, what's her name?
Naomi Rapace.
Then David Fincher tackled it, went back and remade the first one.
Right.
Starring
Daniel Craig and Rooney Mara. That's it.
And then it didn't do well enough for him to keep making them, so he backed out. Now they're making an American version of The Girl in the Spider's Web, which I'm pretty sure is the fourth book in the series. So I don't know, are they making an English sequel to the Swedish film or just skipping all the ones in between? So The Girl in the Spider's Web is now coming out. Everyone who's been in it previously has gone. Sylvia Hooks and Claire Foy are now going to be the two like main people. So I kind of want to see it, but
yeah, Claire Foy is really good. I do like her.
Fede Alvarez is going to be directing it. He also wrote it, but it's an interesting, it's this, I don't know, jumping to the fourth book in the series is a little odd.
You guys might be able to correct me, but didn't they do that with the Robert Langdon, the Dan Brown Robert Langdon books? Like
that's
out of order. They don't necessarily tell a coherent story.
Yeah.
Always, but they do reference each other a lot. So
yeah, those ones are a little bit different because, and it's, I think part of that was more that, like, I know I'm one, I have read, well, I haven't read all of them, but I have read three of the Dan Brown books, but I didn't read Angels and Demons until I'd already read Da Vinci Code because it got so popular, and then went back and read the other one, which was basically not a prequel. It was the first book that came out. So they definitely did that with those books. But this one, I don't know, jumping all the way to the fourth book after, I mean, the first book's been made into two movies already, and then the second and third have only been made in Sweden. So it's interesting, but otherwise, has anyone seen the trailer for Bad Times at the El Royale? Because it looks fantastic. Look it up. It's got Jeff Bridges, Dakota Johnson, John Hamm, a bunch of people in it. It looks ridiculously ridiculous. another How You Train Your Dragon. And First Man looks really interesting. I don't know if any – the basically autobiography of – also starring Claire Foy. So since the Queen, she's just in everything. Ryan Gosling's going to play Neil Armstrong. And Damien Chazelle is going to direct it. So I can't imagine it's going to be bad.
The preview looks really good. It looks really good. It
does look good. All right. I've got us sidetracked enough. Let us talk all things E3.
Yeah.
So who did either of you watch anything live E3?
No, I did not.
I caught a couple things from Bethesda Live. That's about it. Any presentation that you heard about that, what, I mean, I guess, let's see, Adam, what were you most looking forward to E3 and did you get it?
I mean, every year I'm definitely most looking forward to Bethesda just to see what they've got. Because they have had those carrots out there for so long of, they're going to make this game. I don't know when they're going to make this game, but they're going to make another Fallout game. They're going to make another Elder Scrolls game. I'm going to buy the hell out of both of them and play them for far too long. And so wanting more of those. And this year we kind of got that with Fallout 76. So new game coming out later this year. And then what is essentially the video game equivalent of a teaser, which is just the rolling over some mountains, a title, and a title score for The Elder Scrolls 6. So, you know, I'm on board with that. Like I said, I don't think there was ever any doubt that they were making that game, but now we have official, we're making this game. So
there was definitely always going to be another, you know, Elder Scrolls. There was always going to be another Fallout. So we did. We got, so Bethesda, let's click through it. They showed us some more about Rage 2, which I've never really played the Rage games, but we're getting a new Doom, a sequel to their new Doom. There was some stuff about Prey, which I had never played. A new Wolfenstein, doubling down on just fucking Nazis, and I love it. Fuck Nazis and kill them all.
And with ladies this time, so you get to. I really like that they went with BJ's daughters. So women killing Nazis in the 80s, from the looks of it, and you can play as co-op and be both of them.
So Fallout 76. It was teased, it was rumored that it was going to be a multiplayer game. They have confirmed it will be a multiplayer game, like a mini MMO Fallout. My only concern is, I guess, depending on how like servers are set up and stuff, like the first thing I thought is how quickly before every server's taken over by griefers who just get nukes and drop them on everyone else trying to play the game. they also kind of doubled down on my least favorite thing about Fallout 4, which was the building stuff. I get for some people that's their cup of tea. I got bored with it real fast. But I don't know who I'm kidding. I'm going to buy the shit out of it and play it so much. I'm going to go hang out in West Virginia and do kill mutants and build guns, and it's going to be awesome. So,
Yeah, I'm with you. I was definitely a little more worried. I liked what they had to say about it, though. They mentioned multiple times this is, you know, a game where you will be interacting with a dozen people, not 100 people online, and that you will never see servers in the game. So you're not going to be selecting servers or picking servers or anything like that. Your characters aren't tied to a particular server or anything like that as well. So it's interesting to see that. And they've already kind of let it known that there will be private matches or private servers in the future as well, just not at launch. So if you've got a group of friends that you want to play with and just with them and not have to deal with anybody else, you'll be able to do that too eventually.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I mean, obviously it's too early to get all nitpicky about stuff, but Fallout fans are want to, not unlike Star Wars fans, will get a little weird about things, especially if you read anything about Fallout 4. But I'm curious to see, because it's, as he described it, a softcore survival game. So death means no loss of progress. I'm curious to see how things persist when you're flipping back and forth between servers with your progress and your building and stuff like that. But I'm excited. And then obviously, like you said, we got basically the equivalent of a teaser for Elder Scrolls 6, basically just an announcement that yes, we are making an Elder Scrolls 6, as if you didn't think it was true. They did poke fun at themselves for making a million different versions of Skyrim with a little teaser of Keegan-Michael Key basically playing it on his Echo. Lo and behold, after it was over, I loaded the app up on my Echo, and you can 100% play Skyrim with Alexa on your Echo. And she actually just heard me say her name, and now she lit up. But you can play Skyrim with Alexa, and it's fun as hell.
Yeah, I like that it was like a old-school text-based RPG.
Yeah, it's basically... It's basically like what goes on. Yeah, it's basically like playing a MUD or playing Zork and... Right, crossroads. Would you like to go left to the spooky lighthouse or right to the village? But I did play it for longer than I would like to admit the other night, and it was
that doesn't check out at all.
So Bethesda was obviously, I mean, Bethesda was the studio I was obviously most excited about. Other than like Nintendo, I had some things I was looking for. Sony had some things we were looking for. Looking forward to the Microsoft show, but at the same time, Microsoft got a bunch of trailers that are not exclusive to them, but they footed the bill to put them there. Specifically, let's get their Cyberpunk 2077. So, you're aware that is the newest series of game, or newest game coming from CD Projekt Red, who up to this point has been known for basically one game series and one game series only, The Witcher. The third game of which is one of the greatest games ever made, I personally think. So good. I played it through multiple times. And now I get to take that studio who I love, who makes amazing single player, super rich experiences, and put it into one of my favorite settings, Cyberpunk. It's not quite like Shadowrun. There's no elves and dwarves running around, but there is lots of dope hacking and cerebral implants and coolness. So
no, it's not I would think of it, you know, kind of like Bethesda did with their soft core survival. This is seems a little more soft core Cyberpunk, a little more Blade Runner Cyberpunk than some other stuff, but it looks good. And God, I mean, just overall, all of the trailers visually looked fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cyberpunk looked great. And then Microsoft also had the new Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which, holy God,
looks good.
Also looks very good.
Microsoft, I will say, like, other than like finding out about Fallout stuff, Microsoft easily had my two favorite trailers at their show that are not necessarily exclusives for them, but they had the two trailers I was most impressed with. One obviously was Cyberpunk 2077, which I'm super pumped for. Second of all, they also had the trailer for From Software's new game, the makers of Dark Souls, in Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. Where you're a fucking ninja samurai guy with a prosthetic arm that does cool dope shit, and it looks real fun.
That will be hardcore survival. Death will lose progression. Be careful. If it's From Software, that's the one thing you can say for certain, is that death will be true.
Awesome. But yeah, like Microsoft for not, I mean, I think one thing I think was really cool about the Microsoft presentation, or cool, I guess, is in the world, they definitely didn't push the Xbox One as much as they have in the past. I think they finally have come to terms with the fact that that ship has sailed and are just showing dope trailers. It was definitely a year of sequels. Like, we got a Tomb Raider sequel. We got a Division sequel. We got a Dying Light sequel, which I'm actually kind of excited about. Yeah. I played a ton of Dying Light, the first one. Obviously, like, it's been talked about for the better part of God knows whenever, but we may actually see Kingdom Hearts 3 on January 29th of next year. Yeah. Whether or not that is a true statement, I don't know. Kingdom Hearts has been pushed back God knows how many times. If we're going to make fun of Bethesda for releasing a million different versions of Skyrim, we should make fun of Square Enix for releasing a million different versions of Kingdom Hearts 2, 2 point whatever the version is. Crackdown 3 is actually coming, maybe, finally. I don't know. Sort of. It has a maybe February of next year. I never played the second one. I enjoyed the first one, but that one, those games have had some really rocky development paths. Other than that, I got a little nostalgic about, I haven't played one since like 1 and 2, but the Ninja Theory, they've come out with Devil May Cry 5, which is supposed to be the true sequel to Devil May Cry 4, and looks like it brought back a lot of the super campiness of some of the originals, which I'm 100% on board with. And I don't know if we really needed it, but they're coming out with a new Battletoads game. So, all right. New Just Cause. And then, obviously, Gears of War 5 is going to happen, and there's going to be 2 spinoffs for Gears of War. I think Microsoft has finally decided maybe we should, you know, I don't know. Whatever, they are going to milk the few.
Hey, yeah, you got to.
Like, through exclusive IPs that they have that work, they're going to milk until the end of time.
Right. You got a new Halo and you got a new Gears of War. Like, it's basically kind of what I was expecting from Microsoft. So they're right there where they should be.
So Microsoft, if we're going to do Microsoft, we might as well do Sony. I think everyone at Sony was looking for one thing and one thing only. Tell us more about Last of Us Part 2. And they did do that. Mm-hmm. And it looks dark and super fucked up. Not that the first one wasn't, but this one looks way more.
This is a lot of human killing human, and that's I wanted some monsters at the very end. I was hoping to hear like a click as it was fading to black or something. And
when you introduce it with like the composer of the thing playing the theme on a 6-string banjo, and it goes on from there, I was so that looks really bad. Ghost of Tsushima, open world samurai game, looks interesting. Resident Evil 2 remaster. We got some more Kingdom Hearts 3 at the Sony reveal. Microsoft got Frozen World to show off. Sony got Kingdom Hearts Pirates of the Caribbean World to show off. So,
oh, jeez.
I still could not tell you what the fuck Death Stranding is about. I can just tell you that it's weird as fuck.
It's about giving me nightmares, I think. Exclusive.
I thought the first couple trailers of it were weird and messy, and I didn't know what's going on. And then they made another one. I was like, maybe this time I'll find it. Nope, no idea. Yeah, but it's somehow managed to up the creepiness factor even more from the trailer.
Oh, yeah. From a beach full of dead whales and black blood to, like, oh, well, this is going to be a creepy game. And then all of a sudden you see another trailer and you're like, oh no, this is going to be a very creepy game. Okay, cool. Good to know. Good to know. But it looks fantastic. That I think they're still using the Fox engine from Metal Gear Solid 5 there. And it looks amazing.
So that looks fun. I haven't said this about one in a long time because most every game made with this IP has been garbage since post like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, but the new Spider-Man game looks kind of good. I really want to play it.
Did you watch that whole trailer?
It's so good. And here's the thing, I love Spider-Man, and I've bought almost every Spider-Man game that's come out since like Maximum Carnage on the Super Nintendo, which I love. And most of them have been super bad. Like, the only one I could ever even remember, like, really getting into was the one where they went super all the Spider-Verse one.
Yeah.
Shattered Dimensions or whatever, where you got to play, like, classic Spider-Man, 2099 Spider-Man, Noir Spider-Man, and Ultimate Spider-Man. That one was okay. But most ever Spider-Man game that's been made in the last 20 years has been pretty garbage.
Well, I think we're finally getting to a point processing wise for these systems where you can handle the all the things
Spider-Man the web slinging, the swinging,
right. Just the speed of it. Yeah.
The well, and going straight from swinging to like, and I love the trailer. They did a great job showing off like swinging, landing on a object and running along that object and diving off into somebody and shooting webs as you're going. Like, I mean, Spider-Man can do a lot of stuff and does a lot of stuff. So it's,
I think a lot of that technology or the ability to do some of those things have always been there. I just don't think they've ever given it to the right studios. And so many of them have been movie tie-ins. So there were always those rushed, like it's got to be out by this day. Cause you go back and you look at like the Arkham games, you don't look at the Arkham games and tell me, oh, we couldn't use the same sort of stuff and make a really dope Spider-Man game.
Oh, yeah, so, for sure. Yeah.
So, but it looks real fun. And then the one I'm actually, like, probably one of the things with Sony other than Last of Us I was the most psyched about is I have a reason to dust off my PSVR because From Software is making a PSVR game and I really want to play it. I've had a PSVR since release and I've maybe taken it out and up like has since the first couple months of owning it have taken it out maybe 5 or 6 times. It's fun. It's a pain in the ass to like do anything. Yeah. And it's like one of those things, as much as I enjoy it, like playing it for long periods of time.
A headache.
Well, it's not even a headache. It's you get sweaty and hot and I get weird and freaked out when I can't see and or hear anything when I'm in my apartment alone for long periods of time. Cause then any weird sound or like me bumping against my couch and I freak out, but I will definitely buy that game and play it. So other than that, I mean, Sony didn't have to do much. Sony has been winning the war for quite some time between them and Microsoft. So mainly just because of their exclusives, but getting Last of Us out there on the exclusive path was big. So
did they have a release date on that?
I think it said, I don't think there is one yet. As far as I know. Elsewise, let's see, who else? I mean, the one that got obviously shit on the most, as it should be, was obviously EA. we got to see a lot more of... There's a bunch of... Oh, of course, Battlefield 5 is getting a Battle Royale mode, because everything needs a Battle Royale mode now.
Yeah, that was the least... That's the smallest surprise ever. Like,
Battlefront 2 is going to get updates to do Clone Wars era stuff, bringing in Grievous, Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan, so maybe. For some reason...
I'll pass on that. I'll wait for Jedi... what are they calling it? Jedi First Order? No, not First Order.
Oh, Dark Jedi... Jedi Order Dark something? I don't know. I can't remember, but it looked really good. I just know the title, but if it's anything like the Jedi Knight games, I am super fucking pumped. So...
Right, let me play as a Jedi. Give me a single-player story mode as a Jedi set between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. Like, I'm on board.
I mean, don't make... What was the Darth Vader Apprentice series of games?
The Force Unleashed.
Those were not good. But if I get to be Kyle Katarn again, I would be... real excited.
Those weren't bad games. That was all right. They were pretty
good. Force Unleashed.
I enjoyed the first one.
It was okay. The point of those games were a little weird just because you got so ridiculously overpowered. Like, you're pulling TIE fighters off the wall. I mean, it was cool at the same time. It was like, I don't know. Bring back Jedi Knight 2. Let me do cool saber throws and force chokes and be Kyle Katarn. And like rip guns out of people's hands with force pulls or like throw their grenades back at them. Like, I played so many hours of Jedi Knight 2 multiplayer or just the main story. It's such a good game. We learned a lot more about...
I think that's good with this when you're a young Padawan, or not a young Padawan, but you're a Padawan after Order 66. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited. I am reading, tying right into that, I am reading Dark Lord, Rise of Darth Vader. From the Star Wars Legends series. Very good. Also takes place in that same time period. So
nice.
Like, just make this into a game. I'll play that.
I just want to point out how good that segue was there.
Nicely done.
Yes.
EA trotted out a Command & Conquer mobile game. People have been dying for more Command & Conquer for years and years. So EA said, we listened to what you said and misinterpreted it horribly, and here's a mobile game. So
you got lots of mobile games. Bethesda has a Elder Scrolls, what is it, Force? Or
yes. Force? I would
like well, that. That's a mobile game.
Yeah, that'll be their, it'll be like their, but I would say the one thing I can say about Bethesda's two mobile games, they currently have Fallout Shelter, which has now been out for like 3 years. Still a lot of people I know play it. And that is, those are, they do have microtransactions, but they are free games. I do not know EA to have ever done anything for free. If there's a penny they can milk out of it, they will. We learned more about Anthem, which still looks good.
No loot boxes for Anthem, though. They pointed that out. They're like, nope, we're not doing that this time.
Yeah, well, you know you done fucked up when you actually have to point out in your press conference, oh, by the way, that thing that all of you hate immensely, we won't do that in this game. Trust us. until season two.
Oh, fine.
Right, that'll be the DLC. The DLC will have that for sure, yeah.
I don't know. It's Massive Effect-y / Destiny / I don't know, Mech Warrior. I'm intrigued by it. I'd like to try it. Like, you basically have big mechs that are your character classes, and you swap back and forth them. Whether or not it'll be good, we'll see. I'm trying to remember the last EA game that I like played a bunch of, and I'm drawing a blank.
Mass Effect 3.
That's probably it. I guess we'll dig in. We'll go to Adam's studio. Anything at Ubisoft that looked good? Ancient Greek Assassins, you on board with that?
Yeah, I'm definitely on board with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. That looks fantastic, and they give you the choice this time. You want to play male or female protagonist, so you get to choose, and they're both named, and people will refer to you by your names and all that kind of stuff, and apparently you have more impact on the world around you, so they want it to be more RPG styled. So when you interact with Socrates, if you lie to him or tell him certain things, it changes the way he interacts with the world and stuff like that too. So I'm intrigued for sure. I really enjoyed Origin. I love the ancient settings that they've done with these last two games. And this one looks to have a little more streamlined fighting from what I could tell. And maybe that's just the weapons that they were choosing to use in the demo, but we'll see. I'm excited about it for sure. Staying with Ubisoft, you brought it up earlier, Division 2. It's got me intrigued. Free DLC for that first year. So that's also pretty interesting.
Did you ever play the first one?
I bought it when it came out and I played a bunch. I was talking with some of my friends about that actually today. Didn't play after they did all the supposedly fixing of some of the issues I had with it. But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued enough that I'm considering buying it again because I bought it and then sold it. And I'm considering repicking it back up to put it back in and see if I could get into it.
Other things there. Ubisoft got the first chance to show the new Star Fox game for the Switch, Starlink Battle for Atlas. I am a sucker for some Star Fox, so I'm on board with it. I played Star Fox 64 so many times, I can't actually even count it. It's ridiculous. So that looks fun. For Honor, got some cool updates. Skull and Bones, I mean, basically a prettier version of Sea of Thieves, a multiplayer pirate game. I'm wondering if they just decided, like, people really like that ship thing when we did the piratey Assassin's Creed, let's just make an entire game of that, which I'm 100% on board for. Sea of Thieves is kind of so maybe this will scratch that looting and firing the cannons and broadside. I mean, maybe if I can swing across the ship with a cutlass in my mouth and fire some broadsides, I'm on board. Obviously the big thing was Odyssey, I think, with Ubisoft, and everything else was kind of like, oh, by the way, Division, yeah. Beyond Good and Evil.
Beyond Good and Evil 2, yeah.
Yeah. Which looks good.
And they had Joseph Gordon-Levitt out there, so anytime you can bring out a JGL, it's a good time.
He is a very attractive man. I'm trying to think what studios. I mean, obviously we got, like, they didn't do so much a stage show, just did a Nintendo Direct. I think I will say it. I don't know if anyone else got excited about this. The most exciting thing that Nintendo announced for me is that they are doing a Switch port, not maybe port, but a Switch version of the game Killer Queen. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the game Killer Queen. Killer Queen is a arcade game that is 5 versus 5. It's a giant cabinet. There's only like 30 or 40 of these cabinets in like the United States. And it's a cooperative 5-on-5 game where 5 people are on one side, they're the gold team, and 5 people are on the other side, they're the blue team. And one person controls the queen, and the other 4 people on your team control, like, worker, waspy, flying in your little flying things. It's these big open-world maps, and each game you play, there's 3 ways to win. You can win an economic victory, which is you use your worker guys to collect these berries and get them from one part of the map up to the top, to your base. Second way is to have your little guys turn into soldiers and kill the other team's queen 3 times. Or the other way is to, there's this little snail at the bottom and you get on it and try to ride it all the way into your other team's goal. It's hard to explain until you've played it. I have sunk easily hundreds of dollars worth of tokens into this game at the local arcade bar, 1UP in Kansas City. It's up down arcade here in Kansas City in the Crossroads. They have one of the cabinets. It's one of the few places, like, there's not a lot of them around. It's one of the most fun games I've ever had, and it gets, like, super intense. 5-on-5, just screaming at each other, like, getting, like, trying to go. I mean, it's so much fun. Anyway, it's coming to the Switch. It'll be an amazing party game. I've already talked to my friends who we play Killer Queen with. The minute this comes out, we will be putting it on multiple Switches and having a big house party and getting super rowdy with each other. Speaking of games that get super intense and ruin friendships, the Switch is finally getting its version of Mario Party. So a whole other generation of Nintendo fans can yell at their loved ones and ruin friendships forever, which I'm super excited about.
And Smash Brothers.
And
the most ridiculous list of characters I've ever read.
So I tried to count them, and it turns out, like, did they ever give an actual, I mean, you know what, I'm gonna do it, this is gonna take a minute, and I'm gonna do it, and let us list the entire roster of
Smash Bros. You want me to read them off to you and you can count them?
Mario with Cappy, Samus, Kirby, Bowser, Breath of the Wild, Link, Donkey Kong, Fox, Falco, Marth, Zelda, Sheik, Villager, Mewtwo, Meta Knight, Sonic, Peach, Pikachu, Ice Climbers, Inkling, Captain Falcon, Zero Suit Samus, Wii Fit Trainer, Squirtle, Ivysaur, Charizard, Ness, Lucas, Ryu, Ganondorf, Ike, Cloud, Snake, Jigglypuff, Pichu, Roy, Olimar, Diddy Kong, Lucario, Lucinda, Robin, Bayonetta, Mr. Game & Watch, Greninja, Dr. Mario, R.O.B., Duck Hunt, Pit, Dark Pit, Palutena, Corrin, Bowser Jr., Toon Link, Young Link, King DDD, Rosalyn and Luma, Me Gunner, Sword and Brawler, Wario, Little Mac, Pac-Man, Shulk, Wolf, Mega Man, Luigi, and Yoshi. Yeah, Bob totally literally got up and walked out of the room while I was reading the list.
It took so long. I totally lost count. There's so many. That's a ridiculous number. Like, what?
And they've already said, like, everything that the people who play, like, the, because I like the Smash Brothers game. I am not good at them. I am not in any way competitive at them. I go to a bar and people are playing it. I can step in and immediately die. Like, but the game's, like, to fuck around at home, it's super fun.
Yeah.
But all the things that people who take the game seriously have are getting it. It'll work with the GameCube controller, which is the only thing anyone cares about.
Right.
It will also work with all the amiibos. You'll be able to transfer all your FP data from previous games. And the one thing I was actually kind of excited about when they announced it, because it's become a bit of a meme, and it's one of my favorite game series of all time, they are bringing Ridley from Metroid in as a playable character, which is super dope.
Yeah. No, it's for sure. I mean, Nintendo, I guess, pretty much always has what would be the best exclusives, because they're all the games anybody wants for the Switch is, like, give me a game that has Mario in it or Link or Samus or any of those other games that only Nintendo gets. So like, it's perfect. They did a great job. And are, like you said, are giving people exactly what they want with Smash Brothers, which was going to be very important.
And then obviously we are getting a new Xenoblade Chronicles, which I think a lot of people knew was coming, as well as Fortnite is coming to the Switch because it's already on everything else. Might as well be.
Yeah, you can get it right now, actually. It's currently on the Switch.
And a new Fire Emblem game. So it's been a while since we had a Fire Emblem game. Hollow Knight came out yesterday. I mean, came out that day. I downloaded it. It's real good. That's about it from Nintendo. I mean, you get Mario Party and you get new Super Smash Brothers. I mean, they could have literally just walked out and showed the roster for Super Smash Brothers and dropped the mic and walked out. And I think everyone who's a Nintendo fan would have been fine with that. So, I don't know. Any big things that were dropped at E3 that I'm missing? I'm trying to think anything else that... What did Square Enix do anything? Because they're doing the Tomb Raider.
And Kingdom Hearts. That's their big one.
Babylon Fall, the new game from Platinum, the guys who made like Bayonetta, Vanquish, and Nier Automata, which could be super good.
Mm-hmm. You got another, is it Neo or Nio?
A new Just Cause, a fourth Just Cause. So if you want to do cool things with wingsuits and grappling hooks and grenades, that's always fun. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're completely glossing over it. Why can't I think of the name of it? The Starfield, I think it is.
Bethesda's sci-fi game that's been kind of in the rumored for quite some time.
Right. So another, something like their first new RPG IP in like 20 years or something like that. Like, I mean, it's crazy, but they do those games very well. So I'm excited to see it in a new setting.
See what they can do with that. I love cool sci-fi games, and I don't know. Like, there's so many, for every good one, there's so many bad sci-fi games, sci-fi games.
Right.
I end up just playing the same old ones over again. Like, and then, or just like hate watching the development of Star Citizen, which is one of the most entertaining things in the history of the internet. At this point can't shock me with anything it does, but like if the game ever comes out, don't get me wrong, I'll buy it. But let's talk about how glad I am I've never sunk a dollar into it as part of its crowdfunding. Like, right. That may be the game that just destroys game crowdfunding for everyone, because
it could. Yeah.
Jesus. I've been playing a lot of Stellaris lately, so that's a fun sci-fi game. But, I mean, I don't know. It's Bethesda, and it's sci-fi. I will play it, and I will probably enjoy it. So, I don't know. That was exhausting. We covered a lot of ground there. But E3 was big this year. I mean, nothing like super, super groundbreaking, but a lot of expected things that people have just been waiting for quite some time.
Right. For every E3 that you get that has, like, literally jaw-dropping open moments, you have two or three of these in between where it's like, yep, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. That's what I wanted.
The nice thing about E3s like this, and I think Starfield will fall in this category just because they've called it next gen. Like, this might not be out until the next generation of consoles comes out, but the E3s that we remember for having like super draw dropping, like, can you believe it? Look at this. This is the most amazing thing. Are almost always, every time that happens, it's like, oh yeah, and then that game came out 3 years later.
Right.
Like, this is a Bethesda, this was a E3 where it's like pretty much everything you saw without fail, most everything you saw will be out by the end of next year. Barring delays. Because there's been so many years of E3s that we just get teasers of things that, you know, and like, you get full playable demo, like, was it Prototype? That we saw like a full playable demo at E3 back in the 2000s, and the game didn't come out for like three more years. Like, by the time game came out,
they had to up it for the next generation.
Yeah, well, because what was the Sony exclusive one where you shot Infamous. Light? Infamous came out, and then Prototype came out, and everyone's like, Prototype's like a kind of like Infamous. It's like, yeah, but Prototype was announced at E3 like half a decade ago. Like, we knew this, and somehow they managed to make a better version of it in the time that it took us to get this demo to production. So I don't know. Obviously, I'm going to play everything that Bethesda made, and all I really need in my life is Cyberpunk to come out yesterday. But other than that, I mean, what? Obviously, Assassin's Creed. But what are you most excited about that you will be able in your hands by the end of next year?
Last of Us 2.
Yeah,
that first game was so good, like story wise, and just like the gameplay was. It felt really, really good, and I love a good post-apocalyptic setting, so I was fully on board. And then this one looks even better. I don't know how. Like the little bit that we got to see, them moving seamlessly from like cover behind an object to among tall grass to squeezing between two things. Like it was all pretty seamless and pretty easy. And obviously, you know, it's a game developer playing a game that they're building. So they know how to do it all and make it look good, but it seemed intuitive and easy to do. And that's really exciting, is when you get a game like that, that you can just put it in your hand and go straight ahead with it without having to worry too much. So I'm really excited for that one. That's probably the biggest. I'm going to buy Fallout 76. Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I'm going to buy Fallout 76. Like you said, cautiously optimistic. I think the two that are for sure buys that I'm super pumped about obviously be, as if I haven't said the name of it enough times, Cyberpunk 2077 and Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, because anything From Software makes, I buy and play. So.
Yeah, my list is probably longer than that. It's probably going to include The Division 2, Assassin's Creed, Odyssey, Fallout 76. Cyberpunk, I want to see a little bit more from it probably before I fully commit.
That's dumb. You're dumb.
You're dumb. I mean, let's be honest, I'll probably end up buying it, but I want to see a little bit
more. Did you play any of the Witcher games?
I played Witcher 3.
All the way through?
Nope.
Halfway through?
Probably not. Nope.
You should go back and do that.
It didn't connect with me, but
that's dumb. You're stupid.
I know. I'm aware of this. You notice I was tactfully quiet while you were talking about.
It's fine. You. Whatever.
I do enjoy CD Projekt Red though, and I appreciate a studio that makes a game, makes it completely, and if they need to update or add to the game, they do it. And since you bought it, you already get it. Like I'm fully on board with their ethos and strategy for game development and production. So I appreciate everything that they do, and I'm really glad that I gave them my money for The Witcher 3 because I want to support that. But yeah, I don't know. I couldn't fall in love with it like everybody else did.
Speaking of which, falling in love, falling out of love, what are your thoughts on? So when was the last time you booted up Destiny 2?
Not that long ago. I did not partake in the most recent faction rally, although a lot of my clan did, and I definitely got invites to like, hey, we're going to go do a quick raid. You want to hop in? I'm like, not really. No, I'm good. I'm playing 7 Days to Die, so I've got all I need right now.
So did you watch the story trailer for the Forsaken expansion at all?
I did, yes. And I...
And how do we feel about, like, I guess basically Bungie was said, like, people always bitch about, it's not dark enough. And Bungie said, all right, motherfuckers, you want it dark. Let's make it dark. Let's take the most beloved character of the entire series and just straight fucking kill him in the trailer. How do you like that?
And I've liked some people talk about how, I can't believe they killed Cade. And other people are like, well, let's talk about how they killed and put killed in quotation marks. Because you know the story is going to be, how do we get Cade back or re-download him from some mainframe that he saved himself in? Because obviously he did, because he's Cade, not a ridiculous creature, and he's going to have downloaded versions of himself all over the damn place. So
he's
I'm on board.
He's already rebooted at least 7 times. That's why he's named Cade 7. So.
Right. I'm fully on board with that because I like I really enjoyed the Forsaken. I felt they were wasted in Destiny 1 probably. Like a lot of things in Destiny 1, you got a lot of depth or a lot of breadth, but not a lot of depth. So they introduced so many things and only dug into like 2 or 3. So I'm excited to see them go back there, and I still really want that game to be very good, and it so far is getting better, but it's so weird that the sequel to a game that was out for 3 years needs this much work to get people back into playing. That bums me out for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can't remember the last time I played Destiny. So I own Destiny 2, but
it's good. I mean, I bought the Digital Deluxe Edition or whatever. Yeah, it came.
So
with,
you get this one.
It
free.
Came with all the DLCs.
Yeah.
Well, no, Forsaken will be like year two.
That's a full
year
expansion.
Two DLC, yeah. Right? So, I got the other two DLCs though. The most recent one being, let's see, you had Rise of Osiris and then Hell. This is how much I pay attention.
Whatever the one.
Warmind. Yeah.
Warmind, yeah.
The Warmind expansion. So it was pretty cool. I played all the story and mostly leveled up a character. But it just hasn't been able to hold my interest as long as Destiny 1 did. I mean, I played that every week. So, but we'll see. I'm hoping for good things with the DLC, the new expansion. See where we go.
Guess final thoughts. I guess we could beat some more E3 horses, but Bob, you didn't get to do much in video game time. So what are your final thoughts for the week?
One, I need to play more video games. Like I said, I kind of talked a little bit about it when we were off the air. If you haven't had a chance to see it, Upgrade. It's been out for a couple weeks. It's a pretty good sci-fi thriller directed by Lee Whamall, who wrote and directed Saw. It's got some of that crazy, fucked up violence that you're so used to in the Saw movies, and a twisty kind of ending. Lots of good action. It's a good sci-fi flick. It's something to look into.
For me, it'll be obviously book related. Specifically this week, the third and final book in the Machineries of Empire series by Yoon Ha Lee came out, Revenant Gun. I love the first two. They are a weird, super advanced sci-fi, magic, math, just nut job, and they're fantastic. I love them. I also recently read Six Wakes by Mer Lafferty, which was one of the only of this year's Hugo Award winner nominees I hadn't read yet. It was good. I don't know if it's Hugo good. I would say right now I'm putting my money on N.K. Jemisin completing the three-peat with her trilogy. I've read every other lit book. I've read all the nominees now, and I don't see any way that she's not going to win. So as much as I would like last year's Machineries of the Empire or Nine Fox Gambit to win, I think N.K. Jemisin's going to win. I like Scalzi's and Leckie's books this year too, but they were good. I also read this new series. I'm trying to think of what the name of the Rogues of the Republic series. Not great, but super fun, like fantasy, caper, heist job books. But if you have not read the Machineries of Empire series by Yoon Ha Lee, pick it up. It is quite good. Adam, finish us off. Take us home.
All right. I will always tell you to play video games. Like I mentioned earlier, I've been playing a lot of 7 Days to Die. Super fun. Find some friends to play with. Makes things easier. I really enjoy that they give you a lot of customization on how you want to play. So the basis of the game is that you are in a world that's overrun by zombies and you have to survive. Every 7 days, there's a giant zombie horde that will attack you wherever you are. So you have to build and defend different places. You can find houses and upgrade them. You do all sorts of stuff like that. Really pretty cool in all the different things you can do. And then at night, the zombies move faster than they do during the day. If you don't like that, if you're a more traditional zombie person like I am, you can make it so that they always walk and they just shamble and they fall and they're, you know, different zombies do have different actions. Very, very fun. Also, I also mentioned that I'm reading Star Wars Legends books. So those are what used to be known as the Star Wars Extended Universe, but are now no longer canon, but Disney still puts them out. because they're going to get that sweet, sweet money however they can. And so you can buy.
Isn't Disney putting out some books that are canon now?
They are putting out canon books. So there's the books that are released now. They'll actually say, I forget. I think it's just Star Wars Universe for those books. And then there's titled. I've got one right here. They have a title on them that says Legends. And those are the old books that are no longer officially canon. So
those are there new an Old Republic
book? No,
are
yeah, those? They're old books. So these are previously written. I think this one was written around the time of the release of the Old Republic video game that they did.
Have you done Shadows of the Empire series yet?
Haven't done the Shadow of the Empire series, but I'm working my way through some of these older books and really enjoying them. Like I said, right now I'm reading Dark Lord, The Rise of Darth Vader, and it's I think it's really good so far. And it's
let me know when you get James to
Inferno, I think it's super good.
Do Heir to the Empire, obviously. Mm-hmm. Anything X-Wing or Rogue Squadron.
Right.
Then anything Timothy's on.
Yeah.
I would definitely Heir to the Empire. First introduction of like PR characters like Mara Jade and Thrawn. Very good
book. Yeah, I read Thrawn. I've read all of the new stuff Disney's released that's not specifically classified for young adult. So Bloodlines and the other trilogy that they put out that takes place just before The Force Awakens. Read all a bunch of the new stuff and some of the older stuff as well. Lords of the Sith, about Darth Sidious and Darth Vader's relationships, really good. So there's just a ton of good stuff out there right now, Star Wars related. So
play some games and read some Star Wars books. Dig it. All right. Well, that does it for this edition, 156 of the Nerdcast. Son Ziggy, the best way to do it. I don't know. Hopefully next week we will be all back together for the first time in quite some time. All four of us, Iggy and Adam and Bob and Tyler. But that week was not this week. This week was E3 week. So I think we did okay without Iggy to keep us on track. It wasn't great, but it's the best way we could do. And I don't think you can ask for more than that. So thank you all of us for joining us. Please let us know what came out of E3 that you were most excited about. What did you like? What did you hate? What did you, see that was just mind-blowing to the extreme? Hit us up at project-nerd.com or on Podbean or on iTunes or wherever you get this podcast. I'm sure we will have some more E3 recap stuff on the website here real soon. But until next time on this, the same nerd time at the same nerd channel, we have been the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. Have a great week.